This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hello, welcome to the Karsh and Anderson program. Hope everybody's doing well on a Thursday. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott Anderson. Hi, Scott Anderson.
Hi, Doug Karsh.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good. You have anything exciting happen in the Gator household on a Wednesday?
I can't say it was anything exciting that happened in the Gator household on Saturday. There really wasn't.
On Saturday?
I'm sorry, on Wednesday.
Right.
Oh.
So what'd you do?
I'm jumping ahead.
It felt like a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah,
huh?
You're right. It was just, you know, basketball with the Pistons, watching some of that. And
yeah.
A lot of flipping around. It's one of those where you flipped around a lot, and I can't remember really what I landed on.
Meaningful night indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Pistons, I mean, the Pistons had, it almost doesn't matter who's on the floor.
I guess not.
Apparently. I mean, look, the Bulls aren't great. But still. I mean, Chance Lanier didn't play like the whole month of December. He comes in bombing threes. They're making a run in the second half with Paul Reed. Please tell me you saw the Paul Reed teardrop.
Oh, the one that launched it like 10 feet above the
basket?
Well,
the one where Paul Reed suddenly turned into this 1950s white Indiana country basketball player with that goofy. That was so funny. It was straight out of Hoosiers, man. It was like a free throw line layup.
They ran the picket fence.
But Paul Reed's on the floor. Chaz Lanier is on the floor. Danis Jenkins is on the floor.
Paul Reed, I think, was second on the team in assists. He had 6. He was running point forward, Paul Reed.
And they were running away from the Bulls.
It's gone to the point, guys, where I've never seen Paul Reed have a bad game. Ever. Like, every time I watch him.
You know who's...
Like, 1998 Kevin Garnett.
Right. And you know who's great? And I kind of sensed it from moment one is Javonte Green.
You knew, Doug. You saw him before everybody else.
So funny. Yeah. I swear to God, the first 10 games that I saw him play, I'm like, this guy's a total waste. Why'd they waste a roster spot on this guy? And ever since I brought it up in the air, he's been lights out in his role.
He's been great. Playing with one shoe, doesn't care.
Nope.
He looks like they picked him up from, like, you know, Lifetime Fitness. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, he was the best player at Lifetime Fitness by far.
Hey, we need one. Yeah. I got you. All right.
All right.
Cool. You're running tonight against the Bulls.
I'm like dying at how much Javonte Green is making me look stupid. I mean, look, I might. Games I watched is a very important metric.
It's a huge stat.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the season, you have to understand. In the middle of Lions season and Michigan season, it's hard to catch every game. So you're kind of parachuting in when you can because there's other stuff going on that is more timely, the beginning of the NBA season opposed to the middle and the heart of the college football and NFL season. But so whenever I watched at the beginning of the year, I swear Javonte Green never played well, and now he never plays poorly. And they just, you know, after the game, they talk to Beef Stew, and he's just like, we're just dogs, man. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're all dogs.
I don't know. Dogs are hungry. 31 points for Beef Stew last night. 15 assists for Danis Jenkins. Paul Reed throwing him in from wherever. It didn't matter. You mentioned Chaz Lanier. I mean, everybody stepping up and contributing. You know, Assar and Ron Holland, I think both had like identical stat lines, both with 11 points in the game. It was, it was a really nice performance from a team that needed it because no Cade, no Jalen Duren, no Tobias Harris. You know, those are, what, three of your top four scoring options?
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
And so the Pistons rolled out like the Motor City Crews, their G League team, and beat the Bulls. Ish, I mean, they're not. Yeah, they're not. I don't mean to be insulting, but.
No, they're this is why one of the reasons I really like this team. There's depth on this team. And the depth should be able to land you somebody in a trade of substance that could even solidify the rotation even more. But they have to be careful. They got to be careful with what they're willing to give up and any kind of disruption of chemistry. Because this team, at what are they now, 29-8? 29-8?
Yeah.
And they're not at the halfway.
28-9.
Sorry, 28-9. Okay. They're not at the halfway point yet.
No, math would dictate that they are just shy.
And on pace for like 58 wins or something? That's crazy.
Yep. Wasn't that long ago. And it's funny because I was watching the beginning of the game last night. It wasn't going as well. And the Bulls started, Cade's out and Jalen Duren's out. And the Bulls get out to a 6 or 8 point lead or whatever it was. And I watch it and I'm going, okay, this is out of character. But again, look who's on the floor. And it's kind of understandable. And then they just turn back into the full throttle Pistons where they don't look shorthanded at all, even though they're clearly shorthanded. So good for them.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights where you saw the roster and you're like, all right, it's a forgivable loss. Like if the Pistons had lost, you'd be like, I get it. But they don't give up losses like that. They don't white flag it ever. I call these like culture wins. Like whoever's wearing the jersey is just going to show up because that's how good the culture is right now. Danis Jenkins, someone hasn't told him he's not the best point guard in the league because that's how high of a confidence he's playing right now.
Right? Nobody tell him. Nobody tell Paul Reed. Reed doesn't know he's not Kevin Garnett.
These guys play like they more than belong.
Yeah.
Like they're going to win the game.
So the Hawks trade Trae Young to the Wizards. I mean, how does this impact the Pistons, right? Everything spins back to how does it impact us? Well, he didn't go to like Milwaukee or he didn't go to...
Went to one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. If look, I can't stand the way he plays the game, but the idea of him going to a contender was the one thing that...
Well, he's a difference maker player.
Mm-hmm.
As awful as he is to watch because of the constant, drawing fouls. That's all he tries to do. And yet he knocks down shots. He distributes the basketball. He's a really good player. He's just annoying in his style of play.
So there's two things that come out of this. One is, you may recall a few weeks ago, the Pistons played the Hawks and Trae Young was out injured. And I had this weird epiphany that I actually really liked the rest of the Hawks roster. I was like, this is a really good young team. Like I could get behind this group. Two is, hey, Hawks fans out there, and I don't know if we have one Atlanta Hawks fan that listens to this show, but now it's okay for you to talk about how annoying Trae Young is. Now it's okay. You can now admit that he plays the game in a very unlikable way.
Very irritating.
You can go ahead and admit it now.
It'd be interesting to hear what they say about him when he returns with Washington to take on Atlanta. But yes, I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and be upset about it.
Yep. But anyway, Pistons were great. Doesn't matter who's on the floor. Chaz Lanier.
Rookie's got to play.
I know, right? Do it okay. And no Cade last night. And 4-game lead in the East. And now we get trade deadline stuff, right? I mean, it's going to become a bigger storyline with each passing week leading up to the trade deadline. And
well, I mean, there are some monster pieces that could be moved that could really change organizations in a heartbeat. What Milwaukee decides to do with Giannis is huge. Do they decide to hang on to him and build around him, or are they going to trade him? And if they trade him, they'll trade others. And be very aware of who he gets traded to if that happens, because that team just added an absolute superstar to the mix, even though he's getting older by the day. But That's I think that's the key in the East to see what happens with Giannis. It might be the key in basketball now that Trae Young has moved, and what's going to happen next? What's the next big move? I mean, Anthony Davis is a big name, but is Anthony Davis still a big player? Can you count on him to play every game down the stretch? Not likely.
You linked a ESPN story about trades.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if you want to, do you care about what the Pistons are?
No, okay. I thought was strange that I'm like, what are the Pistons? Because I'm looking at this trade that was proposed, and I said to myself, what are the Pistons giving up in this
trade? It's a three-team trade where they don't give up anything. They take on Cole Anthony and cut him. So they're really...
And they get cash considerations
to do so. They waive him. But what in this story by ESPN, the Lakers actually move on from Dalton Knecht, who's a player I've always liked, and you know isn't having a great year here for the Lakers. And if he's available, coming off the rookie year that he had, I would be... I'd be interested in whether or not Dalton Knecht can be had for the right price.
Well, they also have, I believe, Michael Porter Jr. getting moved, but not to the Pistons. We discussed the move with Michael Porter Jr. to the Pistons yesterday, which was very intriguing.
Yeah.
And, of course, you'd have to give up something to get it. But then looking at what was given up, I'm like, huh, do they have to give up that much? We'll see.
Well, what were the particulars of that trade? I'm scrolling through it, and I'm not seeing, well, how am I missing on this? Because they have like all these proposed trades, and I'm not seeing. Oh, it's the trade that has the Pistons getting Cole Anthony and releasing him.
Yeah.
So it's Kyle Kuzma, Taron Price, and a first round pick. Yeah, I mean, I think the Pistons could get Michael Porter Jr. I think they could get him, and if they can, I hope that they do. I don't want to see him traded for something that doesn't. Well, look. I'm going to trust in Trajan here for a minute, mm-hmm. but he's earned that.
I feel like if the Pistons do nothing, I'm okay with it.
Are you?
Well, they're a 28-9 basketball
team.
Do
you not know what the Red Wings, Tigers, and Lions didn't do, and that means the Pistons yeah. better do it? Don't you know?
I do.
What are you, new?
I do. I get it.
You just feed into the narratives that are GMs.
But I would also say this. I'd be surprised if they just sat on their hands and did nothing. I think there'll be some tweaking going.
Okay, I don't know if this is possible. This is from an unnamed texter, and I just saw this, so I don't have time to go cross-check it. He writes, I looked up this stat. It's insane. The Pistons are 26-2 when a regular starter is missing.
Really?
Kang, is there any way that's true?
Yes, there is a way that it's true. Do I know if it's true? No, I do not.
whoever sent this in, I
you'd have to go through the entire schedule.
You go through the entire schedule and look at the you know games missed. Who got a DNP? It feels like it's impossible that could. First of all, inherently, you would think with a starter out, you'd be vulnerable.
Yeah, but it could be true because they've had so many guys out this year throughout the season. That's why I feel like, and obviously they've won a ton of games anyways, whether whoever's on the court. So it's a stat that sounds like it could be true.
But that implies, yeah, right? That implies they only have 9 games this year where they've had their starting lineup intact. And that doesn't feel right. But if so, whoever sent this in, call us and tell us, cross-reference it. The credibility of this is amazing, but we literally just saw it. So, and we'll get the intern on it. Next up from Kevin in a van, the more I watch the Pistons, the more I think we don't need to make a trade. We look so good regardless of who's on the floor. Well, this brings us to the Tigers conundrum, right? The Tigers spent the first half of the baseball season. We never thought they were the best team in baseball. We kept saying this over and over. They're acting like it. They're acting like they're the best team in baseball, but there's no way this roster. We look at the roster and just say, look at this roster. It doesn't compare to...
Just look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it was... What they did was amazing, but what the Pistons are doing is amazing. And then the question becomes, is it fool's gold? Is it, you know, don't... Because I don't look at the Pistons roster and think it's the best in the NBA.
So we're talking about, you know, does this current team deserve a chance to, like, you know, run it all the way through, see it all the way through, or do they need to make a change, or not a change, but a trade, right?
Yep.
We just got three or four separate texts that came in and said, Mark Champion gave that stat last night.
Did he?
Okay.
Okay.
So this team, no matter who's on the court, they win. Mark?
It doesn't matter who's out there. If they're missing a starter, they just still go out there and they're going to win games, Rick. They just go out there and they ball. They ball, Mark. What if Terry Mills were my color analyst? Terry, what do you think? What goes on here?
They ball, Mark.
Okay, to be clear here, if you missed it, I was at a Piston game when Terry Mills played for the Pistons, and he set a screen for Isaiah Thomas, and I was sitting courtside with a camera when I worked at Channel 25. And as he set the screen, I swear he said in the following voice, "Use it, Zeke, use it." And I just burst out laughing at the time, and I'd never done that impression on
the air.
Holy
mackerel.
I did it 2 days ago.
Big giant clam.
That's what Gator is referencing. But yes, 26-2 without a starter. Thank you, Mark Champion. That's incredible. It doesn't seem like it's possible. So when the weaker team is out there, they're better.
I think we have to trade a starter. Actually.
Trade a starter for future considerations.
Yeah. Right. For cash.
That's right. Crazy. 248-539-9797. The more I watch this Piston oh, I'm sorry. I just read that one. I sent this last week. I've never seen Paul Reed have a bad game. It's kind of wild. It is very weird. But, I mean, look, you know what part of this is? Part of this is you find guys that are good at their roles, and then you don't ask them to do more than what their role is. And you know, you got young talent blossoming. I mean, there were flashes last night from Ron Holland, but the role players, you know, they aren't expected to do, if you just say, hey, I mean, I guess they are asking him to do more because guys are having a start. Like Danis Jenkins, what is his role? Go look like an all-star? Is that his role? Because seems like a pretty tough guy to find to play a role where here's all we need from you. When you're on the floor, all we need is for you to play like an all-star. That's your role.
That's it.
Okay. How many guys can do that? So I don't even know if that's it. They're just fun to watch, people. We got a really good basketball team. And I say this with all sincerity because I know topics of the NBA over the course of the last decade with us here on this show, they've done okay, but invariably, when we bring up the NBA, people will get complaints coming in with texts. NBA is unwatchable, blah, blah, blah. This team is not unwatchable. This team is not unwatchable. So, there you go. 248-539-9797. Gator, I want to do an exercise. I guess you guys did last week when I was gone, but I want to go more in depth. Do you have a team you're rooting for in the NFL playoffs? Like, really can get behind?
I think I have a couple teams that I'm liking, and I think it's just because we got some new blood.
Yeah.
You know, specifically in the AFC. The NFC, it's funny, the NFC, that's where the Lions play, this is our conference, and I don't really care so much for the NFC teams. I don't like the teams in the NFC right now. And I don't want to root for Philadelphia. I can't do it. I can't root for the Bears or the Packers. That's not going to happen. The Rams, the Seahawks or the Niners, absolutely not.
Can you get behind Carolina? Those.
Ish, but I mean, it's just because it's such an underdog and I really think they have no shot that it's not worth it for me.
Right.
But the AFC has teams that, like, I've despised Denver my entire existence on this planet.
Really?
And yet, yeah. And I don't mind them now.
Okay. So what I want to do, and I want you to think about it, the exercise is going to be as follows. I want to go through and I just want to start crossing out teams that we can't possibly root for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And see who's left. So we'll do that a little bit later on. But, you know, it's a weird, I find it now strange to not be in the dance. Like, I used to look forward to the NFL playoffs no matter what. And even though it was only 2 years, I got accustomed. I felt like it was, you know, hey, we're going to be here for a while. Now that we're not here, I'm in a weird place going into these NFL playoffs this weekend. But in the meantime, in the college game, we're just rooting for Indiana, right?
Yes. There's part of me that wants to root for Ole Miss.
To stick in Lane Kiffin's face?
Exactly.
He's pulled two coaches from that staff.
He's a complete jackass, and I really like Trinidad Chambliss. He's fun to root for. So my 51 goes to Indiana. Every other whatever percentage is left goes to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
None for Oregon. Like Dante Moore, local kid, I'd love to see him do well. Mm-hmm. But I need Oregon to start winning national championships.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Indiana, although I will just mention, just as a side, a minor aside here, that Miami team has a little special place in my heart. I'm not quite sure why, but just a little special place in my heart. All right, straight ahead, let's get to the Blitz thingy, NFL playoff style. That is next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. It's time for a playoff edition of the Blitz thingy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Gator, are you ready?
I am ready.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
He calls heads, and it is a tail. I will defer.
All right, Gator, you're up first, buddy.
Give me the damn ball.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Last week, Myles Garrett, he set the all-time single-season sack record. They stopped the game, basically. The refs let him, you know, everyone acknowledge what had just happened. Are you okay with them stopping the game?
I mean, every game, when something like this happens at the end of the season, it depends on what's happening in that game, what's at stake in that game. Is it close? Does it have playoff implications? All that stuff matters. This one didn't matter. There are no playoff implications. You can stop it, but don't overdo it. Just celebrate in a timely manner and move on. You know, you don't have to make this a giant ordeal. I mean, it's the sack record. You had an extra game to do it, and it's a record that you'll own, but... You know, it's not the biggest thing in the world.
This became a deal because Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, was mad. And he kind of had a right to be because nobody told him that this was going to happen. So late in the game, they had this prolonged stoppage. And I don't think it's that big of a deal, but they probably should have told the opposing coach, hey, this may happen. Yeah. Other than that, in a stodgy league that is known as the no fun league, and they've obviously allowed more of late, anything you can do to add personality. And by the way, you know, acknowledge that something cool happened in a relatively meaningless game, I think is perfectly fine. But let the other coach know what's going to happen.
So I'm a little torn on these because moments like these are really cool, Doug. I agree with that. And they don't happen all the time. I would love to celebrate them more. But I'm a person who likes consistency. And for the quote-unquote, I use air quotes, the integrity of the league.
There we go.
You probably shouldn't let this happen because what if they are in a hurry-up offense like Zach Taylor saying, or they're out there playing for their lives. I don't think they're playing for their lives, but the guys are playing for jobs and they're playing for their future. And the game is still going on. This is like a free timeout for no reason. Like what happened here? And they didn't let the other team know. So for consistency's sake, they probably shouldn't let this happen in the future. But I do think it's a cool moment. So like I said, I'm torn, but I'm going to side with the fact that they shouldn't let this happen. All right. What's the best available head coaching position and what's the worst one available right now?
So if I were a head coach, I'd be looking, okay, where do I go where I have the most resources to make my, have my, you know, be successful and maybe be successful relatively quickly? Cause you're not given 5 years anymore, are you? I'll start with the worst job. The worst job is Cleveland because you got Deshaun Watson, who has an $80 million cap number next year, and he's got a $50 million dead cap number the year after that if you decide to move on from him. That is an all-time anchor. The job I would want the most is Tennessee because there's a young quarterback with promise in Cam Ward. They have $100 million in cap space. They pick fourth in the draft. They have eight draft picks. They have Jeffrey Simmons. They have the 25th toughest schedule next year. That's the job. Let's roll.
Wow. That's a lot going on there. this is interesting.
You're going to do Where Would I Rather Live, aren't you?
No, I'm not doing that at all. I'll start with a team that I think has the worst situation, and I think it's the Raiders. They have to start with a quarterback. And a draft where I like Mendoza, and I would take him first overall, but maybe I don't like him as much as quarterbacks are coming out next year. So you have the flexibility if you wanted to trade out of it, but they're not going to. They're going to select the quarterback. Tom Brady is there, but I don't love the draft capital that they have. Yeah, they pick at the top in every round, but there's not like extra picks for them. And they have so many spots to fill on that team. I just don't think it's very good. You're going to find this interesting. I think actually the best team that's out there, that the best situation to walk into is Cleveland because of the draft capital. They have two first-round picks. They don't need a quarterback. They've got like 10 of them. They'll find a way to get rid of at least one of those guys. They have five picks in the top, 107. They have an outstanding defense. There's a lot to like with that. You're going to have to sort out the quarterback problem, and that's not a small thing. But with all that draft capital and with that all-star defense, I'd like to start there.
All right, to me, easily the best job is the Ravens because I don't like using the term generational a lot, but I do think Lamar Jackson fits that term as far as a generational quarterback where he can run and throw almost equally as well. There was that stat if he had retired like in the middle of the season, he'd be the highest rated passer and have the most rushing yards as a quarterback, which is insane to do both. So I think the fact that they have that tier one quarterback, you go in there, that's the hardest position to acquire in this league is quarterback, and you have your quarterback and not just a quarterback. You have a great quarterback, like I said. It's all about getting the position or the pieces around him to succeed. And I look at the rest of the jobs, and I think the one team that doesn't have a quarterback is Cleveland. I think that's the worst spot. You need a quarterback so badly in this league. They've effed it up with the Gabriel pick, the Shador Sanders pick, the Deshaun Watson trade signing, all that stuff. You need a quarterback in this league, and that's the job I would least like to take compared to the other ones. Because I think you, whether you like Kyler Murray or Cam Ward, whoever, at least they have somebody possibly there. Cleveland, you have nobody. All right, third question. Did John Harbaugh deserve to be fired, and where does he land?
No, he didn't deserve to be fired, but if the act got stale and he was unwilling to change, then you got to go, and I think that's really what happened there. I think there's going to be plenty of interest in working with John Harbaugh throughout the league, and you know he's going to sit back and take a look at what's the best option for him. And I don't think he wants to start over with a quarterback that they're going to have to, you know, start from scratch with, like, say, the Raiders will have to do. You guys have already expressed your interest about or lack thereof with Cleveland, so I don't think that's it. I think it's the Giants. I think the Giants is a great situation for him. You got a really interesting young quarterback, tough kid, a lot to work with on that defense. You know, he's a guy that when he came into the league had a lot of defense to work with, so and he's got some draft capital to use on that with a high pick, and sky's the limit what you decide to do. Do you want to get an offensive lineman out there, the best offensive lineman in the draft? Do you want to trade down, get more draft capital? I think he's going to end up with the Giants.
Did he deserve to get fired? I would argue no. Be careful what you wish for, Baltimore. This is a guy that got you to the postseason 12 times in 18 years. I think a realistic expectation for a coach or a GM is to be in the mix to win a championship more often than not. And I would argue that Baltimore has been in the mix to win a championship more often than not, and they have won a championship under John Harbaugh. Additionally, you know, he basically got fired because a kicker pushed a kick right who hadn't missed one inside of 50 all year. Like, that's the fate that was riding on that kick. And I don't think it should have come down to one kick for him to lose his job because a sure thing kicker missed a kick.
He's a special teams guy, Doug.
But, hey, man, he got 7 calls for 6 open jobs. That tells you something else about whether or not he's a good coach. As far as where I think he'll end up, I don't have really any insight on that other than to say the following. A little birdie to me suggested last night that he thinks the team that might have called that has a coach is Tampa.
Interesting.
Doug, I do agree with you. I think it's possible a kicker ended his career in Baltimore. I mean, I don't think he probably didn't deserve to get fired, but that kick, that missed kick, that probably just nailed it for him right there, nailed in the coffin for him. With that being said, though, I think he didn't deserve to necessarily get fired, but I think it was probably the right move because here's the reason why. I just mentioned how I think Lamar Jackson is one of these generational quarterbacks. They were never even able to get to a Super Bowl, and it's kind of criminal that it happened. Now, it's not all John Harbaugh's fault, you know, but there were too many fourth quarter collapses. Like I mentioned, 0 Super Bowl appearances with Lamar Jackson under his watch. They got it. Sometimes new blood, new voice will help. I think that's what they needed. They can't waste Lamar's talent and not get to at least one Super Bowl. As far as where he lands, Giants are probably where he ends up, Gator. I agree with that, but I'm going to give a real chance to Tennessee. They need some stability there. Got a young quarterback. John Harbaugh knows how to at least groom these quarterbacks. I don't know if he can get them to the promised land, but I think Tennessee is his team to watch out for. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, what quarterback is under the most pressure this playoffs?
It's Josh Allen. There's no Mahomes, there's no Burrow, there's no Lamar. I mean, I'm not sure there's a ton of pressure on any of the other quarterbacks relative to Josh Allen. Josh Allen has been to the playoffs. This is his 7th trip. Of the previous 6, Mahomes has ended the run 4 times. He's not there this time. I think this is Josh Allen. It's your time, man. Go.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, but Hurts has already won. I mean, there's just pressure because it sounds like the entire city of Philadelphia has turned against him, but whatever, he's got a ring. Josh Allen doesn't. And in years past, you could look at the Buffalo Bills and say, that's one of the best teams in the AFC. They could win a Super Bowl. I don't think you can say that about them anymore. I think the Bills have kind of crested, and now they're on this downside, whether it's because of injuries or lack of talent, and it may take a while before they get back up. The quarterback's great, but I think all the pressure in the world is on him. Because as you mentioned, you look at the other quarterbacks that are involved in the playoffs, they're all young except for Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford, and those guys have already won.
Yeah, I wish I could be different here, but it's clearly Josh Allen. No Lamar, no Burrow, no Mahomes. And even though I think Josh Allen does have lesser talent, a lesser talented squad around him than he's had years past, it doesn't matter. He's got to get it done. And maybe now or never, because those young quarterbacks in the AFC especially, they're coming. What playoff matchup are you looking forward to most this weekend?
So I'm looking most forward to an AFC matchup. It's the Patriots at the Chargers. Going to have a new breed of Patriots fan. It's no longer the Tom Brady Patriots, right? This is Drake May's team, and it's no longer Bill Belichick. So this is really intriguing to me. I actually like the Patriots, the way that they play football. I love their coach. I really like Drake May. We're going to see how many fans show up in L.A. that are Patriot fans for this playoff game, which will be fun. But it's a battle between younger quarterbacks and coaching matchup that has a ton of intrigue. I think that's the one that I'm most excited about.
The one I'm looking forward to the most is Green Bay at Chicago. And in fact, I'm going to give you a little bonus to this answer. I'm going to answer the playoff matchup I'm most looking forward to this weekend and next weekend. Green Bay, Chicago this weekend. I'm going to spite watch and root against both teams that I'm very familiar with. And next weekend, I'm most looking forward to whoever wins this game to play their game and spite watch and root against them.
So I think I have a theme for your playoff viewing this year, Doug.
Yep.
Spite watching. Yep. All right, Gator, I agree with you. Chargers at Patriots for me. Herbert, he needs to finally live up to the hype. 0-3 in the playoffs. Can you finally win one against a guy who's never been there before? And is Drake May really the MVP, or is that a soft schedule? Also, Harbaugh versus Vrabel, Michigan versus Ohio State. I like that. So I think, and the outdoors. I know there are a lot of outdoor games. I think they're all outdoors, actually, but on the East Coast, I just like outdoor playoff games. All right, last one. I asked it last week, and I'll ask it one more time before the playoffs start, guys. There have been six different Super Bowl favorites this year. Currently, the Seahawks are the favorite right now. But who's your personal Super Bowl favorite?
I'm going with Denver. I trust them the most. I trust their defense the most. I trust their pass rush with a league-leading 68 sacks the most. And their home field. Denver's a tough place to go play in January. So I'm going to go with Denver.
Hey, it's the Broncos. They have the bye, so they can stay healthy for another week. They can get healthier. They have a defense that has game wreckers, both in the pass rush situation and guys at the back end that are going to be covering receivers. They have an explosive offense with a quarterback that makes plays all over the field. And they're very well coached with an experienced guy who's won a Super Bowl in Sean Payton. I think it's the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Broncos. I had them last week. I'm sticking with them this week. I think the Bills can actually really make it because this is Josh Allen's, like, kind of, you got to do it now or never do it. But I'm going to go with the Broncos. Love that defense. And Sean Payton really trusts Bo Nix. When things break down, Bo Nix has the X factor to get out of the pocket, make some crazy stuff happen. They know how to win close games. And lastly, almost 50% of number one seeds have made the Super Bowl since 1990. That's a huge advantage being the number one seed, Broncos number one seed.
And there it is. That concludes a playoff edition of the Wide Nine Omaha Four Down Around the League Blitz thingy. Looky here, Gator. Looky here. An offensive mind, a renowned offensive mind, has just become available. Would he make sense in Detroit? We'll get to that at 1048. Here on 97.1. Adam Schefter, ESPN sources, Dolphins fire head coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Coach Mike McDaniel.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting.
Dolphins owner Stephen Ross met with McDaniel this week to discuss the season. After that meeting and reflection, Ross decided to move on. So Mike McDaniel, known as an innovative offensive mind, did some stuff with pre-snap motions that has kind of infiltrated the league, widely praised for creativity in the run game, et cetera, et cetera. This is a guy who is now looking for a job. Do I suspect he'll land a head coaching position? Yeah, I do. But if he doesn't, and I always do like supply and demand. Ooh, this adds to the supply. And then I think, but it also adds to the demand because an offensive coach is now available. And I go, oh, so now there's two former critically acclaimed offensive minds that are out there, maybe even kind of three. But Mike McDaniel's added to the pool. You've got Kevin Stefanski, who is in the pool. And you've got Brian Daboll, who's in the pool. But all those guys are, there's also seven jobs now available, right?
So yeah. You would, like, just looking at that, I would think that the three guys you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I imagine that McDaniel's going to get a head coaching gig. I imagine Stefanski gets a head coaching gig and that Daboll does not.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean Daboll can't just absolutely thrive as an offensive coordinator. I'd be interested in McDaniel, absolutely. He's worked under some really, really good head coaches throughout his career. Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak and Denny Green and just a bunch of great coaches. He'd only been a coordinator for 1 year in San Francisco before getting the head coaching gig in Miami. What intrigues me about his time in Miami, his record, he had a winning record, 35-33, but
which is pretty good when you don't have a quarterback.
Boy, there you go. But what he did have were excellent receivers. You know, he had Tyreek Hill before Tyreek Hill got hurt, and Tyreek Hill was a problem when he was in Miami. Devin Achane, the running back, is a problem when he's healthy because the speed is incredible. And those guys, I think you could line up and say, well, Jamison Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs. So if they can get an offense going with those guys in Miami, imagine what you can do here in Detroit when you have even more of those weapons available to you and you have a better quarterback.
So there's a few things here, right? I think you're right. I would expect Stefanski. I would expect McDaniel to be the most likely of the three offensive-minded head coach that just got let go that are kind of on my radar to all. I would say McDaniel's most likely to get another head coaching job. Stefanski might, Daboll might, but at the end of the day, you know, if you have interest in any of them, call them immediately and say, hey, I know you're looking for another head coaching job, but we're your safe landing spot. Come work with Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, Jamison Williams. Come here. Your resume will look golden after a year. And you'll probably, what's your quickest way to get back into the head coaching pool? Come take over one of the most potent offenses in the league. And so if none of these guys get their head coaching job, it's back to Detroit. In the meantime, with news breaking this morning that McDaniel is fired, I can't help but think, did Stephen Ross just go, wait, John Harbaugh's available?
Right.
You're out. Coach Harbaugh, we'd like you to come coach our Miami Dolphins.
And I don't know if you make a move this late. And I don't know if it's all that late. I mean, it was it's Thursday after the final.
Yeah, right. Season, what changed between Monday and today? Yeah. Black Monday, as they call it, when coaches get fired in today. Well, what changed is
John Harbaugh got fired. So I think you can connect dots and say, all right, but do you make that move unless you know that you're going to land him? Or do you stick around for another year?
Right?
Or was it
big
simply
risk?
You could also have a post-mortem meeting after the season, and McDaniel's like, we got to get rid of Tua at all cost, and maybe they're like, well, we can't afford to take that kind of cap hit, and there's a disagreement, or maybe it's the other way. No, I can work with Tua. Let me work with him because he doesn't like Quinn Ewers or whatever the case is. There could have been an argument there, but it does line up literally a day after Harbaugh was released.
Kang, what are your thoughts on this news?
Yeah, that might have been the seventh team from Florida, not Tampa, though. Might have been Miami.
Might have been, huh? Yeah, how about that?
Pretty close. As far as the Lions is concerned, yeah, I'd be very intrigued with Mike McDaniel. Like, I think he's a kind of hire, too. I think when you hire a hot, young offensive coordinator, I think you always worry about losing him eventually, because that's just the way the league is, right? But with McDaniel, I'm not so sure, because I think he's actually way more suited to be a coordinator than a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's learned a lot from his experience in Miami and gets another shot. I don't know. But I think you hire him because I think he can run the offense, number one. And two, I think he sticks around for at least a few years because, like I said, I'm at the point where, you know, if I don't want to hire the next Ben Johnson because I don't want to lose the next Ben Johnson in a way. I want the production on the field, don't get me wrong, but I don't have to keep doing this every 2-3 years. I think McDaniel might be one who sticks around and he can be successful, which can, you know, works well for me selfishly as a Lions fan. You guys have mentioned we have the weapons here. Just focus on the offense. You don't have to worry about, you know, leading men and all that stuff, controlling the entire room, all
right.
That stuff, I think, which I'm not sure he's so good at. So, yeah, I'd definitely give him a call.
He's a quirky personality.
He's a young guy, and I think he relates to players well, but I think just stick to offense, you know?
He's got that,
the room.
He's got that hipster vibe that I think Gator, you would hate.
Oh. You might. I think, like, honestly, he dresses how I would dress if I was offensive coordinator, head coach in the NFL.
He's wearing sweatpants. Yep, like, the ankle socks or whatever, the no-show socks.
The sweatpants like rolled up over the knees is such a look. He's got about 35 different pairs of glasses. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, you can lose the cocaine glasses if you come up to Detroit. I mean, it's not Miami. It's not South Beach, man.
But he is also, he's a guy that's gone through
some... Or if you want to keep the cocaine glasses, we're cool with that. Whatever it takes to get Mike McDaniel.
He's gone through some stuff in his personal life, too, and come out better for it. And you root for a guy like that, too. So, I mean, yes, the hipster thing that I'm not thrilled with, but the other stuff. I'm intrigued by him as a coach. I'm not sure if he's a great coach or not. He may be an outstanding coordinator. And like Kang, everything you said, maybe he just can't relate to the players as much as he thinks he can. And maybe he doesn't, if you're as a coordinator, you don't have to. You just, it's just X's and O's, man. And getting your point across and being able to convey that to other players, to the quarterback in particular. I'd love to have him. I don't think he's going to be available to them, but I'd love it.
You think he'll land a head coaching
gig? I think he'll land a head coaching gig.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it yesterday and about how attractive this job must seem to offensive coordinators to build up their resume. In Miami, offensively, they averaged 20 points a game, or bottom third in the NFL. It wasn't working, leaning into his strength. Their yards per game was bottom third in the NFL. This is supposed to be a strength. Didn't necessarily work out. I still would take him in Detroit because I think that was more of a personnel issue than anything there. And I think he would relish a chance, as would any coach who made their name as a coach offensively. I mean, Detroit, where else would you want to be, man? So Stefanski, Dable, McDaniel, whatever.
If McDaniel were to take a coordinator's job,
yep,
it might be likely that he would go to Washington and work with Dan Quinn because they're like best buds.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that.
I heard their wives don't get along.
No?
I just made that up. I have no idea.
But again, probably a head coach candidate somewhere else.
All right, there it is. Big name available. Doesn't make sense in Detroit. Brad Holmes will speak today. Got a question about that we will get to today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on a Thursday on 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.